the Word of God this morning from two different passages. First of all, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 5 through verse 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And now if you'll turn with me to the Word of God found in 1 John chapter 3, and we'll read there the first 11 verses. First John chapter 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So far the reading of God's Word. Those passages and many others as we look at Lord's Day 46. Question 120. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Answer. That immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, He might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely that God has become our Father in Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of Him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Question 121. Why is it here added, which art in heaven? Answer. Lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from His almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. Beloved, in Lord's Day 45, the Word of God called us to regular and consistent prayer life. Regular and consistent prayer life. Why? First of all, because it is the chief part of thanksgiving. Regular and consistent prayer life. Second of all, because of our need of our God. Our need of Him every hour. And now knowing that God calls us to a regular and consistent prayer life, the question that follows is, how must we pray? And question and answer 118 and 19 says, we must pray for all things necessary for body and soul. Pray for all things necessary for body and soul, which Christ has taught us in that perfect prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer. And so we're going to look at in detail that perfect prayer, which has three parts. It has, first of all, the address, which we look at in Lord's Day 46, Our Father, which art in heaven. And then it has the six petitions. Three petitions that deal with God, our need for God, and then three petitions that deal with us, our needs. All of them are our needs. Our needs for God come first, and then our needs for ourselves. We come into our Heavenly Father's presence with this prayer. And Jesus teaches us the content of these prayers. Notice then with me into our Heavenly Father's presence the real nature of prayer, an intimate relationship, and a profound reverence. And as we look at then this prayer, we notice first of all the real nature of prayer. And what is the real nature of prayer? It is a speaking to God. We have not only in the prayer content, but form. Internally, but also externally, we have a work of art here that is profound beauty. We are to pray with understanding. What do I mean with that? carelessness in prayer is sin. Carelessness in prayer is sin. If one was going to address a group, a crowd, one would address that group, would attempt to address that group with a proper form. How much more when we address the most exalted one in heaven? If one looks at prayers in Scripture, they excel in literary beauty. They are poems. Whether it is the prayer of David when he is going to anoint his son Solomon as a king, or Solomon when he is going to dedicate the temple, or Hezekiah, the boys and girls are going to look at Hezekiah when he brings his different needs before the Lord in prayer. Or all of the beautiful Psalms are prayers. They excel in beauty. In other words, we need to reflect on what we're going to say to God and how we're going to say it. These prayers come from the heart, and the heart will make our prayers eloquent. We're speaking to our Father in heaven, and we are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. We're speaking to God. Be careful. Put thought into it. What is the real nature of prayer? And we read here the question in this catechism, why has God commanded us to address God, our Father? And the answer is, prayer is speaking to God. There's no better definition of prayer. It is speaking to God. And every prayer that is not as speaking to God is really not prayer at all. It may be anything, but it's not prayer. It may be speaking a lot about God, but it is not prayer. It may be a speech about God. It might be a speech about God to those who are listening. It might be an information speech about what's going to take place or what has happened. It might be a short summary of the whole sermon, points and all. No, prayer is simply speaking to God, speaking with God. Going to the Father and telling Him what is in our hearts. Telling Him what are the needs of others on behalf of whom we're praying. Telling Him our difficulties. Telling Him, Lord, I don't know a way out. And we speak to Him because He does know what we have to do. So many are afraid to pray publicly because they're afraid of what others are going to think. And let me tell you a secret. You and I do not have to care what others think about our prayer. You and I do not have to care what others think about our prayer. The question is, what does God think? Matthew 6, verse 5 says, it is the hypocrites who cared about what others would think. They would stand there in the synagogues and they would stand there on the corners of the street saying their prayers in order to be seen and to be heard by others, using vain repetitions that the heathens would use. Don't care about what others think. What does God think? Prayer is speaking to God. And second of all, prayer is speaking with God as He speaks with us. Prayer is having a conversation with God. In other words, it is not only, "Listen, Lord, thy servant is speaking to thee," but also, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Remember, boys and girls, that is what young Samuel said in the middle of the night to his God. We need to be able to listen, to be quiet, to hear the answer that He speaks, that He gives to us in His Word. Prayer ought always to occur with folded hands on an open Bible. God speaks to me, and I answer Him. Or I speak to Him, and then He answers me from His words. Prayer is a reaction to His speech to me. It's an echo of His Word. When we pray earnestly, we will involuntarily do that with words from His Word, from Scripture. We need a Father who speaks His Word to us. That is the sure foundation upon which we rest. Notice from the Catechism, God commands us to address us, to address Him, our Father. God commands us. That might be startling. We might expect there, God permits us to address Him, our Father. For it is a great privilege, isn't it? A greater privilege than that is hardly imaginable. The most exalted one, the Creator of heaven and earth, the God who is above all things, He allows us to call Him our Father. We always have an audience with Him. He always hears us. His angels, His perfect angels, are only His servants. And we, His sinful people, may say, "Father," what an amazing command. Command. Perhaps we think that's too lofty. We're not worthy. Perhaps we might say, "I'm willing just to be a doorkeeper." And God says to us, "No. No, through Jesus Christ, you are my sons and my daughters. You call me Jehovah God, you call me your Father in heaven. For I have established a relationship with you. You are my people." As a father provides his children with shelter, with food, with all that they need in his love, I have a close relationship with you I am not a God who is afar off, who doesn't pay attention. But I am a Father who attends to you, my children, in tender, loving care. Call me Father. What a precious command. What is prayer? Speaking to God as He speaks to us, a command. Notice with me, second of all, then, the intimate relationship. It's an amazing truth here, because who are we addressing? When we say, Our Father, we are addressing the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're addressing the God who has an intimate life of fellowship and friendship in Himself. We're addressing the triune God of whom the seraphim says, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Stand in awe of that a moment. How often do you think of that when you pray that prayer? When you think of your God, of that beautiful, beautiful life that God has in Himself. The life of which our families, our marriages, our congregational life ought to be a picture. Harmony, fellowship, working together, enjoying one another. The Father loving the Son in the Holy Spirit. The Son loving and the Father in the Holy Spirit. The family God. And now that beautiful life, you and I as children can look up to them and say, that's our Father. We're taken up into that life itself. We know Him as our Father. He takes us up into that intimacy. That fellowship in God Himself, He knows and He loves us that way, and we're able to love Him and know Him in that way. Wow. No wonder that the Apostle John begins this chapter, Behold. Behold. Take note of this. Take note of this wonderful, wonderful thing. Don't take it for granted. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. How is it possible? When he uses that word, behold, he's saying, here is a definite and here's a strong attention that you and I should take hold of here. Here is a quality of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Here is a bond of fellowship. A bond of fellowship that arises out of His own sovereign electing love. He takes us and He incorporates us into that intimate fellowship that is in Himself. We belong to that family fellowship or love in God Himself. What a great blessing is ours. To be able to call the triune God our Father. Who is able to grasp that? It ought to make our jaws drop in wonder. Behold, what quality of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Do you know what that means for our prayers? As we enter into our closets to pray individually, do you know what that means as fathers and mothers, as you lead your family in prayer? The beautiful fellowship that you have with your God, not quick a few words that you mumble, not hastily done, but as you come and you talk to your Father in heaven. As you meditate on His Word and His promises in His Word, and then you repeat those promises back to Him, or you claim those promises, you just stand on those promises. Father, notice the intimate relationship. Our Father. After this manner, you'll pray. Our Father. We're not alone. We come in our prayer with our fellow saints. Now the plural there does not destroy the intimacy, for the personal nature of prayer includes ourselves, doesn't it? That is, our includes my Father, doesn't it? But that word, our, serves to remind me that I must, in a priestly way, pray for others. I, you, are not alone in the world. Besides myself, besides our families, besides our church, besides our denomination, there are thousands of children of God in this world with their cares, with their questions, with their needs. And we need to remember them in our prayers. Let me repeat that. We're not selfish. We're not just thinking about ourselves. Besides ourselves, besides our own individual families, besides our own individual congregation, besides our own individual denomination, we're not alone. But there are thousands who share with us the same faith. With us in a childlike faith. Love God as our Father. And we pray for one another. Our Father in heaven. In fact, Jesus teaches us in this very same chapter, doesn't he? In Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24. If there are differences between brethren, leave your gift before the altar and first be reconciled with thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Now, if that's true in our individual families, if that's true in the congregation, how much more with our prayers? We come together. And differences in a family. In families, that happens, doesn't it? In congregations it happens. There's differences, there's arguments, there's squabbles. And it's important to reconcile them. Get over them. Forgive one another. So that then you can pray together. So that you can say, Our Father, which is in heaven. How can you pray, Our Father, unless reconciled? And if you cannot, or if you will not get along, reconcile with a brother or sister, then you have no right to pray this prayer. The Apostle John brings that out after this beautiful chapter on being children of God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, he says, If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Our Father in heaven. God has a family. We pray he is our Father personally, but also of our brothers and sisters. Resolve differences. Pray for one another. Individually, family, as a congregation, as a denomination, and as a universal Church of Jesus Christ. Praying for the saints with difficulties and needs. Saints that are being persecuted in the world today. Praying, upholding one another before our Father, which is in heaven. Now the question comes, how? How is it possible to address God as Father and to be assured of this? Behold, what manner, what quality of love the Father has bestowed upon it. What the Apostle John is writing about here is our right to address God as our Father. Why? Because of we are sons and daughters of God by grace. By grace. That's the only right. By grace. In sovereign love, God has adopted us. He has given us the right to be called sons of God. Although in time, we appear as children of the devil. We appear as children of wrath by our human nature. But indeed, we are sons of God from before the foundation of the world. God has chosen us in Christ Jesus. And He has realized that right in time, laid the foundation for that in the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, by His obedience to the cross, has earned for us forgiveness of our sins, adoption as children, and the heirs of eternal life. That's the legal aspect of being children of God and calling God our Father. And it's the Holy Spirit now that causes us to experience that. Yes, by the Holy Spirit, we are able to say, Abba, Father. By the Holy Spirit, we know our sins are forgiven. We know that God is our Father, even though our consciences accuse us. Our sins are forgiven, and we know we have the rights as children. We dare call God our Father. And spiritual aspect of that is, we hate sin. We hate sin. And we know our responsibility is now to serve God, to fight sin, and to live as children of God in this world. God has made us His children. It means, beloved, that we come then confidently before the throne of grace. Our Father which art in heaven. Hebrews chapter 4. We come boldly to the throne of grace. Little children are not afraid to come to their parents with their needs because the parent loves them. The parent will do anything for their children. And so we, as God's children in Christ Jesus, come with all that boldness to the throne of grace. My Father loves me. My Father will give me whatever I stand in need of for body and soul. I don't hesitate. But I will bring all my needs, body and soul, to His throne. He'll hear me. For Jesus' sake. He will hear me. For Jesus' sake. Do you have that confidence? Nothing's too big. Nothing's too little. I'm unworthy, yes, of myself. I'm unworthy, but Christ is worthy. He loves me. For Christ's sake, He'll give me what ever I stand in need of. I'll go. I'll come boldly to His throne with all my needs. What an intimate relationship. I can tell my God all my difficulties, all my disappointments, all my questions. And my sympathetic high priest, Jesus Christ, is there, and He will not be shocked by my sins, by my doubts, by my questions. He'll take all my prayers, and He'll even intercede for me. What doubts do you have? What questions do you have? What secret things do you have that you really don't want anyone else to know? What sins are you struggling with that thankfully no one else knows about? Take them. Take them to the Lord in prayer. You can, child. You can. Your Father won't dismiss you. He won't say, oh. Your Father loves you. Hold you in His hands. He'll embrace you to His chest. And He'll love you. He'll care for you. He'll help you. What a beautiful, intimate relationship we have. Our triune God loves His children. Our Father, which art in heaven. Profound reverence. We consciously enter the presence of our Father in heaven. That last little phrase guards us from just using vain repetitions. We're not just going to use vain things that come easily on our lips. We're not going to be careless in our prayers. Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8. No, we enjoy the blessings of our relationship to our God, and we're going to be very careful with what we utter. We have a Father who hears and answers us, and we have a Father who protects us and who will lead and who will guide us with His Word and Spirit. And we have a Father who is going to take us from this earth all the way to the mansions that are above. He is our Father which is in heaven. And so, very carefully, We ask for the things that we need here on earth to guide us so that we walk carefully in this world till we reach that final goal to be with Him in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. Careful language. Careful needs. What do I stand in need of? What does His Word tell me I need? And when we use these words, it reminds us that prayer is worship, isn't it? By faith, we're flying up to heaven. We're standing, or we're kneeling, probably better, before God's throne. God's throne where the angels are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Where Moses stood and he took off the shoes off his feet. Our prayers have to be worship, not just some words that are spoken or said out of rote memory. Our prayers have to be sincere and from the heart. Our prayers have to be said in reverence. Our Father, which art in heaven. For He stands before in His infinite greatness. And therefore we use language that reflects honor and respect. We come then as children in absolute trust and dependence and awe and reverence. Not fear. I hope that my children, when they were growing up in the home, never were afraid of me. Afraid that maybe my hand would all of a sudden strike out and hit them. I hope that they never had that kind of fear. And I hope that we as God's children never have that kind of fear of God. Awe, yes. Reverence, yes. Trust, absolutely. Dependence, yes. Not afraid. Our Father, which art in heaven. How can we show that kind of reverence in God? It begins in the heart. He is so great. I am so unworthy, but I'm His child. It begins in the heart, and it shows itself in our bodies, doesn't it? And I'd suggest, first of all, in our posture. In our posture. What is our posture in prayer? If I think back when I was a child, I shudder and I'm saddened. When I think of posture at times in church as young people. In our church, we used to have what was called the theater seats, individual chairs. And when it got time for the congregational prayer, or was sometimes called the long prayer, people would get ready for long prayer by getting comfortable. That is, slouching down, sometimes taking the Psalter hymnals out and placing it on the chair in front of them so that the knee could go up on it, scouching down so maybe the head could even go on the back of the chair so we could be comfortable. Maybe while even sleeping during the long prayer. Was that proper posture for coming before God in prayer? And the answer is absolutely not. My parents should have taken their hand to the back of our heads and slapped us. What is proper posture? Proper prayer means body and soul, that we are prepared to come into the great presence of our God. And that means that we humble ourselves before Him. And reverence, second of all, in our prayer from the heart, then with the right posture, means reverent language. Reverent language. We're speaking to the most exalted, awesome Father and God. And thirdly, from the heart, with posture and language, then preparation. Think first. Not use just blurting out whatever comes to the mind, but think first in our Heavenly Father's presence, the most exalted, the most high God. Come with beautiful language. Come with all of our needs. Come with the confidence of faith. We are in the Heavenly Father's presence, our Father which art in heaven. Earthly fathers disappoint us at times. They're sinful. Sometimes they disappoint us. Sometimes they're not able to do what they promise. But our Heavenly Father is omnipotent. Our Heavenly Father is able and He is willing. He will certainly care, watch over, provide for His children. And He will give us what is best. Oh, children of God, what a privilege is ours. He commands us. Pray. Address your God. Our Father, which art in heaven. Amen. Our Father, we thank Thee that we may take our and our fellow saints to Thy throne in prayer. What a privilege. Take all our needs to Thee, who knows all our needs, who cares for us, and who will abundantly provide more, abundantly more, than we can ever think. Bless Thy Word. May Thy Word preached encourage us in our prayer life. Encourage us in our trust and in our dependence, in our prayer life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn it to number 278. The tender love a father has for all his children, dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship Him in fear. We'll sing stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.